First Peter, and we're in First Peter chapter 2 this week as the Lord leads us on. This is a, as I worked this out over the last couple of days, just looking into it, we are in such a blessed place in the Scripture.
Amen.
First Peter is a rock star. It is, well, actually, he's Petros, right? He's that pebble that God was talking about. And so Peter was laying out about being born again in the first chapter, say like in verse 23, chapter 1, it says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Can you get an amen out of that one?
Praise
amen.
God.
Praise God. That's a, I mean, we could park right there. Are you happy about your born again situation? Amen. Praise
I
God.
I love my life in the
Amen. There you go. And with that life in the Lord, we have a promise in Him. Right? If you are born again by the living Word, you don't have to worry about all this stuff that's going on.
No.
We just need to hold on to the hem of His garment, look for that healing, expect the coming of the Lord, and be born again. I mean, you need to live like you are born again.
That's right.
And as we get into this second chapter of 1 Peter, he tells us right in verse 1 there of chapter 2, wherefore because you're born again, all right? Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking. All right, so if you're born again, what are you supposed to lay aside, and what does lay aside mean?
Everything that's not like Christ.
Amen. All right. Now, what does lay aside mean? Set it away. You got to get it out of your life. Now, did Jesus die for all of your sin?
Yes.
Absolutely. Well, then, if Jesus died for it, why do I got to deal with it? Because I still got a free will. I still got a sin nature that lives inside of me that I have to crucify every single day.
Amen.
Amen. And many churches, many Christians, they don't preach this like that.
Yeah.
They say, well, Jesus paid for all your sin. You're good to go. Don't worry about it. You ain't got to do nothing else. But Peter right here plainly says, since you are born again, wherefore you need to lay aside, that means put out of your life, malice and guile and hypocrisies, acting like a Christian and not being a Christian, right? Don't be a hypocrite.
Right.
Jesus said, I prefer you to be hot or cold, but if you're lukewarm, I will spew you or I will vomit you out of my mouth. He doesn't want anything to do with carnal Christians. You know, you need to be living, showing the world that you are a child of the Most High God.
Amen.
And there should be some evidences in you. One thing, you ought not be lying no more. You ought not be envying. That's coveting. Being covetousness. You know, I don't need what the neighbor has. I got enough troubles of my own. You know, I don't need what they got. And so, and have that in your mind. And all evil speaking. That includes gossip, and that includes often saying what's on your mind. You know, do you know that you can say stuff that's on your mind that hurts people?
Right.
That is evil speaking. It's not, I mean, just because you have an opinion doesn't mean you got to share it.
Yeah.
Amen? Right? And so he says, lay all of that stuff aside. And then in verse 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. All right, now ask yourself this. Now, after you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ and He starts doing this sanctification in you, reminding you how not to be malice and not to do evil speaking and changing your insides so your outsides match, you need to also be getting into the Word of God.
Amen.
All right? Do we really desire the Word of God as milk like a newborn babe has?
Mm-hmm.
Right? We remember when we had babies? Right? That little baby needs something to drink? Thirsty in the middle of the night, it just doesn't say, no, Mama, could you give me a drink? It goes, wah, wah, and kicking and screaming and hollering. And you, I'm sure you're very familiar with that, ain't you, Steve? You still got it going on. Do we desire the Word of God with that much passion? Right?
Amen.
Like a passion, like that newborn babe is desiring that Word, that nutrition that they can grow. And it says, These things should happen in you in verse 3. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Alright, so if you've been born again, you tasted, you found out that God is gracious. right? Praise God for His grace, for His mercy, for His long suffering, and because He is gracious, that ought to drive us deeper into Him.
Amen.
Right? Because of the great love that He has loved us, that we ought to, with all of our heart, just pour everything we have into what He is, who He is.
Yeah.
Start mimicking Him, walking like Him, talking like Him, leading the way He does, loving the way He does, you see? Because He's gracious to us, we ought to be gracious to others, right? And so, verse 4, and to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Now, Jesus, we know that He was rejected by the Hebrew people, right? When He rode into Jerusalem on that day, He said, oh, Jerusalem, if you would have known the day of your visitation, if you would have known that this was the time that the Christ was coming to you, and you should have known because you had the Old Testament prophets that were, well, they weren't Old Testament, it was the Scripture. You had the Scripture, right? I'm kind of getting weird in my mind, this New Testament, Old Testament thing. It's just the Testament, all right? Whether it's from the older one or from the newer one, it is the Old Covenant and the New Covenant is a covenant, right? We are, and instead of breaking it up into little bits, anyhow, they should have known because of what Zechariah said. They should have known because of what Daniel said. They should have known the day that the Christ was riding in and what He was riding in on. But since they rejected Him, and they rejected Jesus because He didn't fit what they thought He ought to look like. How often does the church, the New Testament church, reject good teaching because it isn't what they think it ought to be? Right? And so, it happens. It happens. Well, the preacher did said something that I didn't like. Well, was it out of the Bible? Was it Scripture? Was he dividing the word properly? Well, sure he was. But he said it in a way it just didn't sound good to me. Well, then that's your problem, not his, right? It's just because he was teaching you what the Word of God says. And so we, and Jesus being disallowed, but He was chosen of God. And if you, as a Christian, start really being gracious and loving and desiring the Word of God, guess what's going to happen to you? You're going to be disallowed too by the world.
Right.
Jesus said,
right.
Know this, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. Right? Don't expect to be loved by the world because they're not here to love you. Right? And so, but we're chosen of God. I would rather be hated by everybody on this planet, be chosen and loved by God. Amen? Because one's going to last forever and one's very temporary.
Right?
And this temporary thing. And then he tells us in verse 5, ye also, speaking to the church, us guys, as living stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God by Jesus Christ or through Jesus Christ. Look at how he puts this right here. That you are living stones. Remember when Jesus talked to Peter and he told him, Matthew chapter 16, let's just flip back here real quick. Matthew 16, if I'm right, it'll be there. 13, 14, 15, 16. And Jesus had been sending out his disciples to go and preach to people and to tell them about the kingdom of heaven, right? And when they came back, Jesus said, who do men say that I am? And some said to him that some say that you're John the Baptist, and some say Elijah. Others say that you're Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And Jesus asked them, but whom do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said, blessed art thou. Jesus said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, get my page turn here, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, upon what is he going to build the church?
Christ.
On Christ, on the confession that Jesus was the Christ, he was the Messiah. Now, here in, back over where we were in 1 Peter, that he was that chosen vessel, that chosen rock. All right? That confession that he was going to be the cornerstone of the church, the chief cornerstone that was going to be rejected of the Hebrew people, but would be accepted by the Gentiles, brought in from the outside. And Jesus told Peter, upon this, anyone who believes that I am the Christ, that's going to be the cornerstone on which I will build the church. And you know what? If you believe that, then you are not, you are part of the church. You're a living stone. You're part of the pillars in the church of God, that he has called you out, and he's conforming you and shaping you as a master carpenter would. A stonemason. Y'all ever watch a stonemason work? Right, so you get a rock, and you got a hole right there that's got to fit in. It don't fit in there real good, so what's he got to do? Takes a hammer and chisels it away till it fits, right? Every once in a while, do you feel the Lord knocking off some stuff off of you?
Yeah,
amen. So, because and in that, see what he's doing is he's making you a living stone. He's taking Curtis Fitz, or he's taking your name, right? You put your name in there, and the way that I am, he's conforming me and shaping me that I would fit into a spiritual building.
Amen.
Right? Because for me to be a useful stone in the building of God, there's things that's got to die.
Amen.
There's things in me that has to be chiseled away. All right, Jesus said to Peter, that confession, that's what I'm going to build my church out of. That's what I'm going to build the ecclesia. And ecclesia means those who are chosen are called out, right? So if you're part of the born-again believers in Jesus Christ, that means he reached into the darkness. He called you into his light, and when he called you into his light, he started shaping you, informing you, conforming you, making you into a usable stone in the house of God. Amen. So here Peter's saying that you also, as living stones, amen, I love that I'm, God just, I'm a stone, no doubt, but I'm a living, breathing, moving stone. Right? And God, he has a master carpenter. He knows how to take that stone and form it and shape it and knock off and shave off the things that don't need
Amen.
To be in the house of God. And he's making us, he has living stones to, and we are built up a spiritual house. Mm-hmm. Amen? And as you're being brought into that spiritual house, he says that you are a holy priesthood.
Amen.
Every single one of you, if you've trusted Jesus Christ, you are part of the priesthood of Christ. You got a message to give. You got the Holy Spirit in you. And as the Lord speaks, you ought to speak also.
Amen.
You know, he didn't save you that you would just be comfortable in your spot. He saved you that you would be a holy priesthood. That we would offer up spiritual sacrifices. Wow. When was the last time you really thought about that phrase, a spiritual sacrifice? What does that mean? Anybody. What's that? What is a spiritual sacrifice? That would be
continually praising the Lord.
Amen.
Your mind should be always on the Lord.
Always on the Lord.
Yeah. You can pray when you're walking, pray when you're talking. That's what it needs to be.
That's what it needs to be. And not only pray, but as a spiritual sacrifice, there ought to be work that is tied in with that. Because you can just pray about stuff and not do anything.
Right.
So you're up and you're saying, Lord, I'm offering up my life, my body as a spiritual sacrifice unto you. Praise God, I want to be part of the holy priesthood, Lord Jesus. Help me to walk with you. And then God sends somebody in your life, puts a thorn by you, somebody that makes you feel a little uncomfortable. Amen? Right? I don't really like that person. Well, that's good. Because God's molding you and shaping you, and he puts somebody next to you that is irritating.
Amen.
Right? And that is part of your spiritual sacrifice, to love that irritating person. Right? Yeah, I see you giggling because you got a whole truckload of them, right? He says, I don't know where to turn. I'm being irritated on every side. Well, God is forming you, and that is part of a spiritual sacrifice.
Right.
It's more than just praying. It's doing what the Spirit of God tells
Amen.
You to. He puts you into particular situations every single day. And if you're asking to be a spiritual sacrifice, if you're accepting the priesthood of God, if you're saying, yes, God, I have tasted and I know that you're gracious, then God's going to start putting people in your life. And he said, all right, here's a person that makes you raw. Love them. Because you know what? while you were yet a sinner, Christ died for you, right? You didn't have to get gooder to get God. You had to get God to get gooder, right? And so that same person, he has the same problem you got. It's sin. And God has, he's already took and broke some stuff off of you, and then he brings somebody into your life that very possibly has the same sin problem that you have. Mm-hmm. And always, my sin looks worse on the other person. I don't know why it is, you know, but my sin, the thing that I was caught up in, when I see somebody else caught up in that, and I couldn't have been that bad. Oh, yes, I was, but in my mindset, I say I couldn't have been that bad. But God allowed you to go through that, experience his graciousness, understanding the spiritual sacrifice, becoming a holy priest, part of the holy priesthood, being that living stone that you can come along beside another person, or another person comes along beside you, and you can help them into the body. Right? Mm-hmm. See, and it's not our job to knock off the rust off of them. That's the Holy Spirit's job. What my job is to love them where they're at so they don't leave.
Amen.
Right? It's just coming along beside the unlovely, coming along beside the unsavory people, the ones that make you feel just, I just don't want to talk to them today. Right? Those are probably the people you need to talk to.
Yeah.
Right? The ones that make you feel a little uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Right? And so that's part of that spiritual sacrifice that we're supposed to, and those are the things that are acceptable to God.
Amen.
Right? God really doesn't care about a whole lot of things that we have.
No.
What he cares about is the world. Not the world, the people of the world.
Right.
Then the ones who are made in the likeness and image of God.
Yes.
And we as living stones, we have a job in this spiritual
Amen.
House. Right? That job is to offer up that spiritual sacrifice that is acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. See, I can't make any spiritual sacrifice that's good to the Lord, that's acceptable to the Lord, without Jesus Christ giving me instruction to do it.
Amen.
Because if you don't have the instruction from the Word of God and the Spirit of God, you can do things in a work spirit.
Right?
Right? Mm-hmm. And nobody can earn their salvation by works.
No.
But often, many people in the church think, well, I am so good because I'm so busy.
Mm.
You may be sacrificing, but it might not be a spiritual sacrifice.
Right?
Right? And each of us have different characteristics and different things in our lives. And God is preparing us to incorporate other people with the same characteristics that we have or have had in our past.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so he's asking us to do that. Now, he says in verse 6, wherefore, now all that spiritual sacrifice that are acceptable to the Lord, we're living stones. Wherefore, he's saying all that to get to this, wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion the chief cornerstone, elect and precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded or confused or dismayed. It depends on what you're looking at there. All right, so understanding this, that if you believe on Jesus Christ, you will not be confounded. You're not going to be confused. If you're being led by the Spirit, and the Spirit is guiding you into all truth,
Amen.
You're not going to be messed up.
Right.
Right? You're not going to be off and you're doing your own thing. You'll be doing the thing that Jesus wanted you to, the Spirit wanted you to. Even if you are rejected by the world, you're following Christ, that makes you elect and precious, and as you believe on him, you'll not be confounded.
Amen.
Right? So there's a lot of stuff going on in the world right now, in our nation right now, that if you just look at that stuff, the vaccine, the presidential election, the this thing, the laws, all those crazy things that are going on, if that's all you're looking at right now, you're going to be all confused.
That's right.
Right? Your mind's going to be going off. You're not going to be really focused on stuff the way that you need to be focused on stuff. And God is saying here, if you're just focused on Jesus, you're not going to be caught up
Amen.
In that mess. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And you'll know the truth, and that truth is going to set you free. You won't be confounded by those things. Verse 7. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. Is he precious to you?
Oh,
do you? Oh, isn't he precious? Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ is so precious. Yes. Unto you. So if you believe he's precious, this is for you. Right? Unto you which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallow, the same is made the chief of the corner. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. All right, now, catching your mind into what Peter is telling us here. If we love God, if he's precious, we won't be confounded. But if you do not love God, if you don't love Jesus Christ, if you think that he is that cornerstone that's been rejected, then some things are going to go wrong in your mind. You're not going to be thinking proper. You're not going to have your spiritual life in line, which will reflect in your physical life. And he says, and then Jesus will become a stone of offense to people. You get out on social media and you say something about Jesus, the Christians will agree with you, but the non-Christians will come at you like a mad dog, right? And so it's offensive to them. And his name is a stumbling block to anybody who's disobedient. And I look at that disobedience is whereunto also they were appointed. There are some folks that God knew that they were not going to turn their hearts to him. All right? Yeah, he knows that there's a whole thing called predestination, right? And there are folks that God knows that are going to accept him. And he's going to meet them, and they're going to turn their heart to him because he's outside of our time. But on the ones that he knows are going to accept him, there's also a whole group that he knows that will not accept him. And we know some folks like that in our own families that just will not accept the gospel of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what you do to them or for them, they just won't do it. And God says that these folks, they were appointed unto that. You know, that not that he didn't love them, not that they couldn't get saved, but remember, he is all-knowing, you know, and I'm not, all right? And so I don't know who's going to accept him, who isn't going to accept him, so I'm going to express the love and the grace and the goodness to God to everybody, right? And then let the Holy Spirit do his work,
right?
And as you do that, but he says, but ye are, all right, the ones who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, he says that you are a chosen generation, that you are a royal priesthood. Before the foundation of the world, he called you. He knew you. He knew you were going to be saved. He knew when you were going to walk with him. And he wanted you to fill the fullness of God in your life. And you are chosen, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. I like that. I like being peculiar. If you're a Christian, you're just a little bit out of step with everybody else. Everybody else is saying, oh, be afraid. Get a vaccine. Be afraid. Wear a mask. Be afraid. Do this. Don't trust the word of God. Don't believe that God's sovereign. The rest of the world says that. The rest of the world tells you to believe Fauci. Personally, I don't believe Fauci. I really don't. He doesn't believe in Jesus Christ, and he would kick a Christian to the curb.
That's right.
Faster than he would a dog.
That's right.
Right? So I don't trust him. He doesn't trust the Lord. Okay? And so, well, and that makes us peculiar. You know, there's only a few folks that really and truly trust, believe Jesus Christ, that he is absolutely sovereign.
Amen.
Right?
Right.
And now there's a lot of folks that come to church. There's a lot of stuff. And there's a lot of people that just don't really believe that it's appointed unto man once to die, and then comes the judgment.
Right.
Right? And if we really believe that, that means if you died of the COVID, then that was your day to die.
That's right.
Right? If you were on that day, at that moment, if you were hiding under your bed, right, all curled up in a taco shell or whatever, hiding in the boogeyman, you were going to die on that day.
Exactly.
No matter what. Okay, now, do you believe that? I absolutely believe that. And I've known too many people who should have died in car accidents, should have died by gunshot wounds or freak farm accidents. They should have died, but their day wasn't right. It was not time for them. And I know other folks, and you look at their life, and they were young and healthy and ran 15 miles a day and was a perfect specimen in that coffin. Okay. They died on the day that was pre-appointed for them to die.
Right, right. Absolutely.
You know, that little dash between the born on and the left on date on your tombstone, it's only this big. Okay. There's not a lot of space between the born on date and the died on date. What you do in that little space of time determines where you're going to spend eternity.
Amen. Amen.
And so, and that's a peculiar way of thinking. The world does not think that way. The world doesn't believe that way. And considering we are few, and the world is much, Jesus even asked this. He says, when I return, will I find faith on the earth? Will there be anybody who really believes that I'm sovereign, that I am holy, and that I have called a people group to be holy and chosen a particular people that trust me above whatever the world says? There ain't a lot of us.
No.
There ain't a lot of us. There's a lot of folks that go to a lot of different churches, but they really don't believe.
Right.
It just blows my mind during this time that we're in. These Bible-believing churches may say, we live by faith. Until something comes up.
Right.
All right? And now we don't live by faith. We trust science.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't trust science. Now, science is good. Don't get me wrong. I'm glad we have penicillin. I really am. Wouldn't have had that without science. I'm glad that we have indoor plumbing. That's a great thing to have. You know, electricity. All that took some science to get that stuff going. So science is not bad, but when they take God outside of science and they start believing the creature rather than the creator,
right?
They start believing the virus is more powerful than God.
Yeah.
No. No, God's more. And not time to beat this horse too much. But 99.8% is the survival rate, right?
Very small amount.
Isn't it? I am I right on that? 99.8, 99.5, something like that?
99.9.
Now, yeah, so.
Very small.
It's very small. You're right. It's teensy, tiny, itsy bitsy thing. All right, now are people dying from it? Amen. There are people that are dying from it. People that are, in fact, what I've seen is that this flu season, there is no flu. Have you noticed that? You know, I haven't heard nothing except a couple times they say get vaccinated for the flu. But don't worry about the flu. It's not that bad, right? And so, and from what I understand, flu people die of the flu in a much higher percentage rate than what they do of the COVID. I don't know. I have a hard time believing science with that. All right? 99.8% is not enough to shut down the economy and have people starving to death, all right, in the street, not able to pay their electricity bill because the government says they can't work because of 2% of people?
Yeah.
All right, there's a lot of people in the world, right?
Yeah.
Well, there's, I think, Mike was seven billion or something like that. I don't even know. There's more than I got fingers. Right? But even, all right, so 2% of them pass away. No, actually, 100% of them are going to pass away.
Right.
Every single one of them is going to pass away. Nobody gets out of this alive.
No.
Right? So who cares?
Right.
Well, who cares? I mean, I cannot be over, because I'm a peculiar person. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that there's a kingdom prepared for me. I believe that if I walk by faith and not by sight, he has me.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
He's got me. And he says that no man can take me out of his hand. No, there's nothing that nothing man can do to break my faith in him. Right? Nothing that they can do. No angel can do it. But I've got to make sure that I believe what the Bible says about him. That I'm a peculiar person. I'm supposed to be a royal priesthood. So are you.
Amen.
A chosen generation. Isn't that great to know that God chose us?
Amen.
How out in the world? Why would he choose a bunch of old worms like us? I have no idea.
I ask him every day.
There you go.
Why?
And you know what he does? He looks at you and says, because I love you. You know? Well, why do you love me? That doesn't matter why I love you. I love you. I love you, and I called you, and I knew you would answer me.
Amen.
And now I'm creating you to be something.
Lesson.
Isn't that beautiful? He's creating you to be something that is further, far out, man. It's just, it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And so, in that, a peculiar pray people, that ye, this is still verse 9, that ye, that means us, should show forth the praises of him that called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. So as a peculiar person, as one who's born again, as one who is a royal priesthood, we have a job. Do you see what the job is? To show forth what? Start peeing in some aces. Praises, amen. Yeah. So we're supposed to show the praises of the Almighty God in us. We're supposed to be light shining into the darkness because we were in darkness. That's what it says right there. Before he called us into his marvelous light, we were in the darkness.
Amen.
And God illuminated us. He touched us with his glory. He gave us faith that goes way beyond sight. He gave us patience, goodness, gentleness, kindness, love, joy, peace.
Amen.
All of the fruit of the Spirit he gave us. And he gave it to us that we could show that to a lost and dying world, which would be acceptable praise to him.
Bless
him. Right? And in that, we're supposed to be praising him and calling on his name and to show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That is the reason you were born again.
Amen.
That's why he called you. He knew that you would shine out. He knew that if you're really and truly born again, that in you was a light. Oh, Lord, man, oh, let me see if I can think of this. I just heard about this today. That there is a place in your brain that people that are radically religious, okay, MAV2 gene, MAV2, okay, is a gene that people who are prone to be radically religious, they have a place. Hold on just a second. Let me make
sure. Okay, what do you mean by radical? Nutty?
No. That's what we are.
Yeah.
And then
lights up.
Couldn't
think more than other people who are not religious.
People that believe the Bible.
It's a VMAT2. It's called VMAT2 gene. All right? A VMAT2 gene.
I didn't learn that in nursing school.
No, this is, they actually found it, they started discovering it, and in 2005 they made the paper about it. There's a big thing, you can Google it still, YouTube it, and you'll find it. It's the VMAT2 gene, and they call it the God gene, the place in your brain that helps you to have faith. They're able to map it. For instance, folks who are musically inclined, there's a bend in the squirrely place of your brain that if it's bent just right, you are naturally inclined to music, right? It's just one of the things that they found by doing tests on people's brains, right? So anyhow, they have this VMAT2 gene, and they found it in the human brain, and when they were talking about it, the doctor said, so if I bring a MRI and I find this gene in somebody's body, do I need to kill them? All right, that's what the doctor was asking. Do I need to kill them? And so anyhow, the guy said, no, we don't need to kill them. We're developing a vaccine to fix it. All right, now they're developing, and that was in 2005. Mm-hmm. All right, look it up. VMAT2 gene.
Well, they must have the vaccine in Russia then.
It could have been. But he was an American guy, and he was talking to American doctors.
These are all atheists.
Right? And so so anyhow, the VMAT2 gene. Check it out. Look, and you're a nurse. Look it up for me, because a lot of people will say, well, you sound crazy. Well, I'm a peculiar person. I'm supposed to sound crazy.
But there's supposed to be in every person
yes.
a spot
yes.
that wants God.
Yeah. Well, actually, what he said here, that there are some appointed to disobedience. You know, so there are some folks that just will never accept.
Well, yeah, you got like, yeah. You don't keep going.
Right? But yeah, I agree with you that we were made in the likeness of God, and some people desire God to fill that place, and other people make themselves God to sit in that place.
There's a void there.
Yes, there's a void. And before I knew God, I tried to fill it with a lot of stuff. Right? I tried all kinds of things to fit in that place until God met me and changed me and touched my life and turned me around. And so, anyhow, in that, that's what makes us a peculiar person. Okay? Because we have that desire to worship in a radical sense. And when I say radical sense, I don't mean like crazy stuff. To us, it's not crazy. To them, it sounds pretty crazy. You know? So, to us, we believe that God is sovereign.
Right.
And you're going to die when you're going to die.
Right.
They believe that science is sovereign and they can stop you from dying. All right? That, and so the radically religious people believe that the Bible is real regardless of what any scientist says. So we're radical because I really believe that God created everything in 6 literal days.
I do too.
Amen? That makes us radical. All right? I believe that God someday soon is going to roll the skies back, all right, and we're going to see it roll back like a scroll, all right? Scientists say that will never, ever, can't happen, you know, because the earth is a million, gazillion, trillion years old, you know, that kind of stuff. No, I believe exactly what the Bible says. I believe that the earth is roughly 6,000 years old,
Amen.
Give or take a little bit, okay?
Amen.
I believe that because the Bible teaches that. You go back mathematically. That makes us a little peculiar, right? Because we're going against the stream of humanity. We're going against the powers of the prince of the air. We're going against science, right? I would rather believe the Bible than all the doctors,
Amen.
All the scientists,
Amen.
All those folks, and professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, Romans chapter 1, right?
Mm-hmm.
Worshipping the creature rather than the creator, and God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are unnatural.
Yeah.
Then he talks about sexual sin and all that kind of stuff. But God gave them over because they did not love the truth. 2 Thessalonians, right? They didn't love the truth, and God gave them the delusion.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We're seeing that. But even as I'm saying this, if people that didn't know, if it was anybody besides the church sitting in here, an unbeliever, they would think that we are nuts, right?
Yeah.
That's why that's why in Caledonia they think that I'm a cult leader. They do. There's a big thing. There's a girl who lives right down the street told George Cole that just the other week. You go to that cult over there, don't you?
Yeah, and they roll holy.
They believe in that Bible radically, right? And so, yeah, we are those radical believers. We have that bend in our mind that helps us to have faith. What it says is that you're born again.
Amen.
And God has put his mark. Oh, praise God, because it is on the forehead. When you look at the x-rays, and so they have the CAT scan thing, I've looked at a lot of cats. I scanned a lot of cats. I didn't see any of that. But anyhow, they do the CAT scan thing, and they got the little lighting up place so the brain's working and stuff. So it tells us that we're sealed with the Holy Spirit in the forehead, right? All right? And until the day of redemption. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit. It doesn't say forehead. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit. But when you look at the x-ray of the VMAT2 gene, and when Scripture's read, that place lights up right here.
Mm.
It illuminates. That's how they know you got it.
Wow.
It's pretty neat.
Very interesting.
Very interesting. Won't you think? And so, Andy, just something to look at. I'm sorry I chased that rabbit so hard. But I hope that we got it anyhow.
Yeah.
But the reason I'm talking about that is because God said that you're going to be peculiar. You're going to be different than all the rest of the world. We're going to believe things that the science does not believe.
Amen. Amen.
And they're going to hate us for that.
Right.
They're going to reject the teaching because of that. And those pastors who only teach half of that.
Yeah.
They'll be accepted by the world. They'll close their churches when Cuomo says. They'll take the government dole.
Yeah.
You know? And so, but we're peculiar people. We're not supposed to do that. But we're supposed to show forth the praises of Him who called us out of darkness and into His marvelous light. So what's my job? Praise Jesus. How often? All the time. Why? Because I was blind, but now I see. I was in darkness, and now I'm illuminated,
Amen.
Right? I can see the lie. Oh, thank you, Lord, for this. Remember that old song? I can see clearly now, the sin is gone, right?
Yeah.
Well, actually, it was the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way, right? And so all of the dark clouds have passed me by. It's going to be a bright, 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 sunshiny day, right? It's not going to be a dark winter like Biden says, right? Because I believe in Jesus Christ. I got a bright day coming.
Yeah.
And because I am born again, all my sins have been passed away. All of the dark clouds, all the depressing manure that used to surround me and keep me bound up is gone. It's gone. I am not a recovering anything. I am a born again individual by the grace of God. Right?
Praise Him.
That's what makes you peculiar. When you really believe that it doesn't take a 12-step program.
No.
It takes one call from God and a surrendered heart. And He changes you.
Amen.
He changes you. Amen. He puts in you something that is outside of normal. Praise God.
Yes.
And He makes you a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people.
Thank
for the reason of praising Him because He called us out of darkness and into His marvelous light. Amen? In which, in times past, verse 10, which in times past you were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. See the dividing line there? There's only two kinds of people in the whole earth, and it has nothing to do with your skin pigmentation.
Right.
Right? You're either born again or you're not.
Right.
Right? And that's the difference right there. And He tells us right there, in times past, I was not a people. Yeah, that's what He says. Right? Before I knew Christ, I wasn't even considered a person to God. I was an enemy of the Lord. I was outside of His promises, outside of His grace, outside of His, I wouldn't say love, but outside of His care. Now, when I accepted Him, when He called me by my name, when He chose me and says, I want you on my team, and I said, ooh, 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 yes, put me in, coach, and I'm ready to play. And He did that, everything changed.
Amen.
I became a person to God.
Right, right.
Now, it's not that we weren't people before God, but to God, we were not part of the royal family. We weren't part of the royal priesthood. We weren't surrendered to the chosen. All right? Because you need to be surrendered to that. But now, we have attained mercy. Before we were saved, we could not obtain mercy. But when God called you, when He touched you, when He illuminated you, when He called you out of darkness, He showed you His mercy and not His justice.
Yes. Yes.
Praise God for that.
Right.
I do not want the justice of God. Because when the day of the Lord comes, that is a fearful and terrible day. I'm not looking forward to that. Right? The Bible says, and there is a day coming, that He's going to come and it will be heaven to pay on the earth. I won't say hell to pay because hell's going to have nothing to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
Hell's going to be getting full. He's going to be sending people out there, zing, zing, zing. Right? It is sad, but it's God's grace that He's calling us. It's God's grace that He made you part of the spiritual building. It's God's grace. place that he showed you mercy, that you could show mercy to other Amen. People and talk about the praises of God.
Amen.
Because somebody told you about Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Somebody prayed for you. Somebody stood in the gap for you. Somebody said, here, let me pour my life into this individual. Right? I don't know who that was for you, but for me it was Ronnie Lalonde. He was the main one, but before that there was my grandma Fitz. She brought us to church, and I mean a little hot church in Virginia. And all the pews had a little fan, paper fan in them. Right? Y'all remember that? Probably not. Y'all were in the air conditioner up here.
I remember the heat.
Yep. And so down south, and I mean, we would go to church all day long. You got there about the time the sun came up, and there'd be singing and praise and singing, and then there'd be the preaching, and then there'd be all those hot, sweaty old women and guys sitting in there, and it'd start about 12, 1 o'clock, starts getting ranked a little bit, and everybody's fanning themselves. And you're in a room about half this size. It's about 110 degrees in the shade. And it's wonderful. It was wonderful. And when we broke out, and everybody brought a sack lunch.
Right.
Everybody brought a sack lunch. It was the craziest thing. You'd finish with the sermon, and everybody would fold out in the yard, and they'd pull out the tables, and everybody would eat. After we ate, you know what we did? Fold back into the church and stay there till dark. And they would pray, and they'd lift up each other in prayer, and it was a beautiful thing.
Amen.
Folks thought we were peculiar then too. So anyhow, but now we have obtained mercy, and we need to show that mercy to others.
Yes.
He says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you, verse 11, as strangers and pilgrims, to abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." All right, he's imploring us. He said, "I beseech you, please, church, beloved in Christ, us, we need to walk in this world like, although we're in this world, we're not of
Amen.
This world, right? This world is not my home."
Amen.
And I'm having a lot of people call me and ask me about some really odd things. I had a fellow call the other day and said, he texted me. He said, "Pastor Curtis, I know it's been a long time since I've been to church, but do you know a militia I can join?" I said, "First of all, what makes you think I know anything about a militia?" All right. Jesus said this: "If the world was my home, my servants would fight." All right. This is not our home. We're pilgrims here. We're sojourning, we're just walking through this land. Right? Because this ain't our final destination.
No.
Jesus said, if this world were my kingdom, my servants would fight.
Right.
This ain't my home. This ain't my... I ain't fighting for this world. I ain't fighting for this president. Alright? I'm not going to do it. I would desire President Trump to be the president, but we deserve Harris and Pelosi. That's what we deserve.
True.
All right, because they're going to put Biden in there, and he's going to lose his mind in about 3.5 seconds. All right, and then the vice president is going to become the president, and then the House, Speaker of the House becomes the vice president. So we're going to have Harris and Pelosi running this country for about 50 years. All right, because we know there are no more fair elections. That has been gone for a long time. They just uncovered themselves. There will never be another fair, unless God intervenes.
Amen.
There'll be no other fair election in America. But that's okay. All right, it's okay. It's all right because I'm a peculiar person. I'm not overly concerned about this world.
Right, right.
I'm concerned about the people of this
Amen.
World, and I'm really concerned about the church in this time.
Yes.
Right. I think it's the church of Sardis. They had left their first love, right? And because it's Sardis or Samaria, one or the other. There's one that was real good and one that had left. And the instruction was to strengthen that which remains, all right? That's what I really feel like I'm called to. You know, now that I don't love the lost, I don't want to reach the lost, I would rather reach the church, right? Because if I could reach the church and get the church turned on and lit up and on fire about Jesus Christ, then they would reach the world, yeah. Right?
Amen.
So yeah, I'm peculiar. You know, I'm different than most, and it's okay. And guess what? You're different than most too. You know? And so we need to walk on this earth as if this earth was not our home.
Amen.
Right? This is not my home. I have a home. I have a kingdom I'm going to. So I'm a stranger, and I'm a pilgrim. Well, I'm telling you, you're a pilgrim. So y'all remember John Wayne? And so I'm a pilgrim. And since I'm a pilgrim, I'm going to abstain from the world.
Amen.
Right? I'm in the world, but I don't have to do the things that the world does. Abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. Anything in this world that's going to affect my relationship with God. I'm not saying it will take my salvation away.
No.
But sin, if I live in sin, it's going to break the communication down with God.
Exactly.
When I pray, He won't hear. Right? When I read, He won't answer. If I'm harboring sin in me that I know is a sin, and I refuse to confess and repent, repent means walk away from it, kill it, then God will not hear my prayer.
Amen.
Right? And so that's why I try really, really hard to keep my sin quickly dealt with. All right? It's easier to put out a spark than it is a forest fire. Right? So in our lives, we need to do things that would abstain from those fleshly lusts. We'll pick up that next week, because the fleshly lusts are really well outlined in Galatians chapter 5 and 6. And so the works of the flesh, it says, walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The lusts of the flesh are this list of things, right?
Amen.
That list of things, I need to do my best not to dwell in them.
Amen.
It's not that I won't commit them or walk into those, because I don't believe a Christian stumbles into that stuff because we have the Holy Spirit.
Right.
But I still have a rebellious spirit in me, right? And so we'll tackle that there next week. And so so praise God.
Amen.
Praise God. Thank you guys for coming. Verse 11. And
we are to, we're carrying Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And wherever we go, He's working, He's praying.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to keep that in mind. I'm
yes.
carrying Holy Spirit no matter where I go.
Yeah.
And God will send him out to do his work for
yeah.
me.
And as you're saying, you're carrying this Holy Spirit no matter where you go. And if you're doing things that are against God, you're grieving that Holy Spirit.
Hey, you won't probably
yeah.
do that, Paul.
Exactly. That's why Paul said, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Right?
Amen.
And so anyhow, well, let's go to the Lord in prayer and give Him praise this
Amen.
Week. Amen. Dear Father, we praise You. We love You. We thank You, Lord God, for Your manifold mercies that You've shown
yes.
us. Lord, thank You for calling us out of the darkness. Thank You for making us living stones in the house of God. Thank You, Father, for choosing us and calling us a royal priesthood.
Yes.
Thank You for the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
Thank You for the ability not to live in sin.
Amen.
Father,
Amen.
You paid for it. We know it. Give us the wisdom and the desire to kill the flesh and walk in the
yes.
Spirit.
Yes.
Lord, we thank You. We praise You for those things. In Jesus' name,
amen.
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 Amen. We love You, brother. God bless.
Yeah, I
Are you going to work?
I'm going to work.
Okay, well, she looks like a horse or a camel.
I'm
all tired myself.
Oh,
you going to work?
Oh, I got to work whether I'm sitting in front of the TV for half an hour before I'm going to work.
Well,
I'm
going to work. I'm going to bed at like 9 o'clock.
Yeah, they get their 10 minutes. She's 2.5 minutes. She's a nap.
Yeah.
township got like 9 or 10.
That's
horrible.
You know what she said? You know what she said? She tried to tell me, basically.
Well, listen to it.